Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
2016 sees humanity accomplishing more than ever. Our technology can do more than generations before us could have begun to imagine. Our ability to stay interconnected between oceans and continents would have baffled those who've come before us. And yet, despite our advances, there's an undeniable fear that's gripping the free world in 2016. And one of the chief causes of that fear is terrorism. Today, we meet a man who understands the ideas and the emotions that motivate extremist organizations throughout the Middle East, because he himself once served as a fighter and a sniper in one of them. Tas Sada shares his extraordinary journey from violence to peacemaking, and from devout faith in Islam to a relationship with Jesus, as he shares his heart for how we can actually make a difference in an ancient struggle. Tas is the founder of Hope for Ishmael, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to reconcile Arabs and Jews, and the author of the brand new book, The Mind of Terror. And Tas, it is an honor to have you here, brother. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Ryan, it's so good to be with you. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
I want to spend most of our conversation digging into your personal story, which is just incredible. But first off the top, I wanted to get your wisdom on some of the topics that are, I think, at the top of so many of our minds right now, Tas. I think the question that we ask in the West, perhaps more than any other, as we continue to see intensifying acts of terror, is simply, why do these individuals and groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, why do they hate us so much that they're willing to lay down their lives to kill as many of us as they possibly can?
For the mind of the terrorist, they use these 6 points that I'm talking about. One is, for example, is a person that have been hurt in some way or another through one of these wars, the Americans or the Israelis, or somebody have killed some of their relatives and caused them to grieve so deeply for that. Other reason is what Islamic extremists would use in order to build up is the decadent of about the Middle East, about the Europe and the United States. You see, the Muslims believe that everything they see on the television, you know, they can see, for example, Madonna dancing halfway naked with the cross sitting on her chest. And the Muslims are looking at that and saying, that is Christianity.
Sure.
And so that's one of the ways the extremists begin to brainwash those Muslims, basically, those weak elements of Muslims that can be raised up to be angry and hatred towards the West. Another reason for me, for example, when I went to fight for Yasser Arafat, when I joined the forces of Fatah, I didn't believe I was a terrorist. I believed I was fighting for a Palestinian cause. I wanted to be home. I want my homeland back. And that's the reason I joined Fatah. It was not Islamic extremism or anything, Islam at all. It had nothing to do with Islam. And so there are people right now, for example, in Israel. You know, there are so many Palestinians that have been hurt by the Israelis, and they are out for revenge. Another reason is the stand, the U.S. stand again for Israel, basically.
Sure.
That's one of the biggest, actually, one of the biggest reasons. So these are some of the main reasons that is used by the extremists that are able to reach through internet, You know, you brought that up in your presentation.
Yeah.
You know, through internet, we are able to reach so many and so much. And these extremists don't have to travel anymore. Through the internet, they are able to reach some weak element, like the one we saw in Florida at the club, at the nightclub, or before that in other areas that have been reached to radicalize these Muslims that have causes within their heart and be able to reach them and get them to radicalize them to be willing to do what they've done.
Tas Sada is with us today. He once fought alongside Yasser Arafat as a sniper. Now he serves Jesus and works for peace. He's author of The
Hallelujah.
Mind. Amen. Amen. And you can hear the joy of the Lord coming out of this man. He's author of the book, The Mind of Terror. Want to let you know, too, we do have a copy of Toss's book to give away. If you'd like to enter in the drawing for that, you can head to myfaithradio.com and just look for On the Road to send us a note telling us you'd love a chance to win the book. Toss, ISIS has seemed to leapfrog Al-Qaeda as the most active and really the most tragically successful organization, including using the internet, as you referenced just a moment ago. They appear to be among the most apocalyptic and barbaric groups that we've ever seen. Can you paint the picture for us of what's behind the rise of ISIS and what motivates them?
The founder of ISIS, his name just skips my mind right now, but the founder of ISIS was actually a Qaeda member and broke away from Al-Qaeda because they disagreed on some of his ways, and his ways are the ones that he's using right now. The viciousness, not to say that Al-Qaeda was an angel.
Yeah.
They're not. But in the way that he wants to impact the opponents, the people that opposes them, is the way he uses in the old ways of Islam, cutting the heads and basically using exactly what the Quran instilling in the heart of these people. That is part of the Quran. When they say Quran is a peaceful, or Islam is a peaceful religion, it's a hogwash. And so the founder of this organization basically began to build himself in that way, in being so vicious in his terrorism and trying to build and rise the Muslims behind him in order to go back to the old style of the caliphs, which is the governance type of system, that everybody, all the Muslims will follow and take part in building up the new empire of Islam. And, you know, the Ottoman Empire have reached that power and reached all the way to southern France, you know, in their Islamic invasions in those days.
Right.
What they want to do now is to go back to that, basically, and hoping that Muslim will rise with them against the rest of the West. But I am so glad that it is not working that way. And Muslims now, believe me, Ryan, and I've been talking to many Muslims, they are wondering whether Islam or Allah is true God. This is the time. This is the time to reach out to Muslims in the West. Those that have come across running away from that Islam. I see many and I hear many about, in Germany, for example, we have sent 6 missionaries from Bethlehem to Germany to reach out to the refugees, the immigrants there. And many of them are reaching to them and able to lead them to the kingdom.
Wow.
Because they are wondering, is this true? Is this real? Now, if they are deep Muslims and really know Islam, they will see that in Islam, in the Quran. But most Muslims are not really very devout or know the Islam the way I have, for example. I've studied Islam deep inside and outside. But most Muslims really do not. And most Muslims, in the majority of the Muslims, that larger sectors of Islam, they don't speak Arabic. They don't understand Arabic.
Sure.
They might read the Quran, but they don't understand what they're reading. You know? Wow. And so this is an advantage for us. This is advantageous. And we need to create a tool for the Arab, for the believers in the West, whether in the U.S., in the United States or Europe, to reach out to the refugees. We should not be worried about the refugees coming. Yes, our leaders need to be careful and they need to screen these people through. Yes, there is no question about that.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we shut the doors.
Well,
but those are the people. If they shut the door, I wouldn't be here.
That's, and Tas,
they have shut.
That's one of the most remarkable parts of your story here on the road as we talk with Tas Sada. He once fought alongside Yasser Arafat, now serves Jesus and works for peace. His newest book is called The Mind of Terror, and I wanted to look at that particular part of your story, Tas, because you, I believe, grew up as a refugee and part of your life, and I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that, and also paint the picture of what drew you to your time in Fatah.
Yes, very, very good point, Ryan. This is really good. I grew up as a Palestinian immigrant and refugee. My family ran away from their home from Jaffa near Tel Aviv to the Gaza Strip to escape the war. And as we know, they got stuck there. The war was lost and Israeli won. And so all the Palestinians that ran away from their homes got stuck. And that's where I was born, in Gaza. And 2 months after my birth, my family immigrated from the Gaza Strip to Saudi Arabia. So I grew up in Saudi Arabia. And I grew up as a Palestinian immigrant and refugee. My father did very well for himself. He fixed King Saud's cars and had very big connections. But yet, we always are referred to as a Palestinian immigrant and refugee. And I hated that. Why? Why am I an immigrant or refugee? So at the age of 16 and a half years old, when we lost the war of 1967, I thought, that's it. These Arab leaders are selling us out to the Jews. I am going to go and fight for my homeland. And so I ran away from home because my father would not let me. So I ran away. I joined Yasser Arafat forces in Jordan and become a very vicious and radical fighter against Israel, and then become an assassin. And that's when I realized, maybe if I get some more education, I can fight the Jews with my brain instead of my weapons. And that's when I made it to America. And it was a miracle that I was able to enter into America with that kind of resume that I had. It was a miracle.
Well, it is a miracle, and I want to just mention, too, as Tas expresses this extraordinary story, that if you're fascinated by this, Tas tells much of this, as well as some great wisdom in his newest book, The Mind of Terror, and we have a copy of the book to give away. If you head to myfaithradio.com and look for On the Road, you can send us a note there to enter for a chance to win the book. Tas, to state the obvious, this is not the blueprint of someone that you might guess is about to come face to face with the message of Jesus. How did he reach into your life, and how are you drawn to faith in him?
Oh boy, I'm telling you, because of the love of the American people, because of the way they accepted me when I came to America. I hated America and Americans. I hated them passionately just as much as I hated the Jews.
Yeah.
But yet, when I came to America, I was so wrong. These American people are kind and they are loving and they accepted me.
Wow.
And then one person that really accepted me with love and respect, an American that I started working as a dishwasher and a busboy at a French restaurant. And I went to him to get his dirty dishes away, and I was so nervous, my hands were shaking.
Hmm.
The man looked at me with such a beautiful smile and said, "Thank you, young man." Ryan, that began a relationship for 19 years. This man just loved me and treated me as an equal person when he's a multi-billionaire, not just a millionaire, billionaire.
Wow.
But yet he treated me with such a respect and love and was so proud of this immigrant boy that have come, didn't even speak English yet. And within 2 years, I've become a very successful businessman in America. He was so proud of that. and then eventually, 19 years later, God orchestrated a situation that brought me into the kingdom through him. I went back to buy the restaurant where I started as a dishwasher, a French restaurant, and wanted to move this restaurant to my own building. It was in a rental property. So I was looking for a location, and Charlie, the man that I was talking about who loved me for 19 years, he knew, so he was trying to help me find the right location. He came one day in mid-February of 1993 and told me about a place I should go to look at. That same place I've been to 3 days before, and that place was a funeral home where they fixed dead people there. So when I walked in there, I was so scared, I physically ran out of there. So I said that to Charlie. So Charlie, I was there 3 days ago, and man, when I walked in there, I felt creeps all over the place, demons and ghosts. And he started laughing at me, and for the first time in 19 years, he brings up the subject of God. He said, "Tas, do you know why you feel scared like that?" He said, "No, why?" I said, "No, why?" He said, "Because you don't have the fear of God in you." I was shocked. "Charlie, I'm a Muslim. I fear God." He said, "No, you don't. But not to worry," he said. "I can help you with that. I can fix it." And he points his finger to the sky and he says, "I have connection." Ryan, that word connection just took me over 2-3 weeks after that. I'm thinking of nothing else but that connection.
Wow.
Until finally Charlie decided it was time. He took me to his house to tell me about his connection. And he tells me that Jesus is the answer, and I jumped. And he said, "Jesus is the Son of God and he's God." I said, "No way. We don't believe that. That's a blasphemy." So he went and brought his Bible, and he sat his Bible right between the two of us, and it was closer to me. I was so shaky, I jumped away from it. He said, "Why did you jump like that?" I said, "I can't touch that." He said, "Why? It's just a piece of paper," and he was flipping the pages. I said, "No, it's got the Word of God and the name of God in it." He said, "So you believe this is the Word of God?" I said, "Yes." Why did I say yes? But we as Muslims really don't believe the Bible is valid as the Word of God. So he said, "Okay, if you believe this is the Word of God, let me read to you what it says about Jesus." I said, "Go ahead." He took the Bible and he opened. Ryan, it was a brand new Bible. He took it out of the box. He didn't look into pages or anything. He just opened, and it opened to the book of John. And John 1:1, he began to read to me. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning." That's as far as I heard him reading. I started shaking violently, and the next I know, I'm on my knees and on the floor with my hands lifted up, inviting Jesus to be my Lord and Savior.
Wow.
I'm looking at Charlie, and he's in the sofa, and he's shaking, and he's crying, and I was worried about him. I thought something happened to him. I said, "Charlie, what's the matter? What happened?" He said, "Man, I've never seen anything like this in my life." He said, "You looked weird, but I like it anyway." And he comes and he hugs me. And he said, when I started reading the word to you, you started shaking violently. Then you were taken off the sofa in the air. And then you looked like you were fighting something. Then you were brought down to your knees.
Wow.
And your hands were lifted up, he said, and you were speaking in a language. He said, I didn't know what you were saying. I was speaking to a light that was saying to me, I am Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to the Father except through me. And I instantly believed without any question the power of his love that he was pouring on me from that light was so powerful. I just instantly believed. And since then, I love Jesus.
Wow.
Since then, I had no doubt in my mind. I had no question about the Trinity and all of that. I just believed. And I realized from that point on that I was not just saved to be a Christian. There is a calling on my life, and especially because of the hatred and the anger towards the Jews. God took that hatred out of me and filled me with such a love and passion for the Jewish people and Israel that I could not contain it, but to go back and bring that reconciliation and healing between us and the Jews. And that's what I'm doing today.
And you are bringing that hope to us as we hear your story today, Tas Sada, an extraordinary story. Once fought alongside Yasser Arafat, now he serves Jesus and works for peace. The book is called The Mind of Terror, and I had a very strong indication that this was going to be one of those interviews that was so good that it was going to go quickly, and it certainly has done that. But Tas, as we have just a few minutes remaining, I wonder, whenever we see in the news and we hear about terror and we see those who are trying to do something to fix it or to do something positive, there's so little hope that we hear about. We see it in terms of this eternal struggle that just seems as though it will go until the end of days. As someone who has lived it, first of all, why do you have hope? And secondly, what are you doing with your organization, Hope for Ishmael, to make that hope into a reality?
Ryan, you know, when I was given the hope and, you know, sometimes I look back at myself and think, is it really true that Jesus would call me to be his servant? Is it really true with all the blood that I have caused in my life, with all that anger and hatred that I had towards Christians and Jews? And then I come to the conclusion again that it's not that I chose to be Christian. It was his grace that found me. And that is the grace that I have a hope for. Not because of my abilities, but it's because of his abilities. He is the hope. I am not. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm confident that with him working through us, we are able to make the difference and bring that hope that seems to be hopeless. And I want our Christian Arabs, the followers of Jesus that are listening to me, friends, take time to look at foreigners look like foreigners to you. Love them. Reach out to them. Touch their heart as Charlie touched my heart. There are many Charlies out there that can be used to bring that hope to these Muslims that are hopeless. He is the only hope. He is the only hope. Praise his name.
Well, this has been one of the most remarkable stories that I've ever heard. And I have to say, reading the book, The Mind of Terror, was absolutely incredible. It's a sobering topic, but there's so much hope that you can hear from this good man all throughout that story. And as we do say farewell, another reminder, if you are fascinated by Tas's story and the joy that he has, you can sign up to win a copy of his book, The Mind of Terror, when you visit myfaithradio.com. just look for On the Road and send us a note right from there. And Toss, from all of us here today to you, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today and for sharing the incredible joy that you have with us.
Ryan, thank you very much for giving me the chance to glorify the Lord. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.